Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His glorious kalam, has reminded khususan the people of Iman, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, or those who have Iman, ittaqullah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And in this ayat kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that from the many blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given insan, one great ni'mah is the blessing of speaking, communication, to talk. What is in your heart, you can express that, take it out, using and framing the right words, so the people around you can understand you. And this kalam is a unique feature given only to insan, to humanity. Insan can speak many languages, mashaAllah. And so a great ni'mah. And every ni'mah that Allah gives you will require a person to be very, very responsible. You see, when you have a lovely car, a very expensive car that you buy, and when you're driving on the road, you are going to be very careful. Kyun? Bahut mehengi car hai, bhai uski keemat hai. Zain? So anything that you value in your heart generally, you want to respect it, you want to make sure that you are looking after it. You will show responsibility. That is why in Islam, a great ni'mah and blessing are children. Your children are a great ni'mah. And so that is why there is this immense responsibility on the shoulders of the parents. The parents have a responsibility, the mother and the father, tremendous sacrifice they give only to make sure that the children are given the right guidance. Why? Because it is a ni'mah. But there are many people in this world who don't understand this. And when you don't take it to be a ni'mah, you don't want to care. You won't care about it. Because for you it's not a ni'mah. So kalam, bhai ye phone kiska hai yaar? Do teen martaba, can somebody not switch it off? Come in the house of Allah, please respect. Jab bhi dekho phone. So your kalam is a great ni'mah. Your speech is a great ni'mah. And this requires a lot of responsibility. So when you are speaking, you have to be very, very careful. Why? Because of your speech, what you say will have a direct impact on other people that are around you. That is why in Sharia, very carefully, things have been selected so the right words come out from your mouth. When it comes to nikah, the right words. When it comes to calling people to namaz, the right words. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah, the right words. It is so important that the right words are uttered. Can this group of people, if you are going to make noise, can you go out please? Children that are here, please, don't make any noise. We welcome you to Masjid Umar. And come, alhamdulillah, we want our children to come to the masjid, no problem. But be mindful of the adab and etiquettes. Parents have to take responsibility of that. Jazakallah. And so your speech also demands from you a lot of adab. How you are going to talk, what you are going to talk. So the very first adab that the Quran points out when you speak anything that comes out from your mouth, the first etiquette, the Quran is saying, قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. That your speech has to be nothing but the truth. Value this ni'mat that Allah has given you that you can speak. And Allah is saying the first adab, the first etiquette is that you speak nothing but the truth. And what is the truth? Sadida means unvarnished truth. Unvarnished. Even this varnish can deceive you. Unvarnished. Don't put a spin in your kalam. Don't deceive. Don't be deceptive. Don't put this smoke screen. Don't exaggerate where you don't need to exaggerate. Don't make things more than what it is. And it's a small bruise, a minor accident, and you get a phone call, jaldi aajao, something has happened. Hey, bhai, what has happened? So, you know, the people that are there taking your phone calls in emergency, they are trained. People who take your phone calls, 999. And the first thing they tell you, be calm. Okay? Take it easy. We need to hear you clearly. Tell us exactly what is wrong. So your words are so important. Don't exaggerate. Don't speak in a way that you are misleading people. Don't speak in a way that you have an agenda. And so the Quran is saying, be very, very genuine. Very genuine. And the Quran is saying, be a well-wisher. Even if you don't know that person, be a well-wisher when you are talking to somebody. Look at the beautiful kalam. Look at the greeting in Islam. Assalamu alaikum. Can you beat that? Can you compare that to hello, how are you, como esta, esta tudo bem, kemcho, and all these, you know, other words for greetings that are there. Greetings to you. Assalamu alaikum. Subhanallah. How beautiful. The first thing is the name of Allah. Assalam is the... And when you say Assalamu alaikum, what sincerity? You are saying, may Allah protect you in body. May Allah protect you in honor. May Allah protect you in your wealth. And what do we do? Hi, bye. What are we? Ye hamari naujawan wali nasal kya hai? Hi, bye. What are you teaching your children? Hi, bye. This hi, bye is not going to give them nothing. But if you want them, and if you are a true lover of your family members, Assalamu alaikum. Give them the real dua. So your kalam has to be very, very accurate when you are speaking. Islam can tolerate everything, but Allah's Nabi does not tolerate lies. That your tongue is uttering something which is wrong, false, fabrication. Hadith. Shaykh Albani has also mentioned this hadith, sahih. Ayakunu al-mu'minu jabbanan. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned, O Nabi of Allah, can a Muslim, a believer, be a coward? Can he be a coward? A Muslim should not be a coward. 20 years ago, the liberal-minded people amongst the Muslims were taunting the scholars and the ulama. You see, Afghanistan fell to the mighty power. Afghanistan fell to the taunting that you people are foolish people. Bahut jaldbaaz hai insaan. They sacrifice their qurbani, and you know what is their qurbani? Each family will give you 10 shuhada. How many? How many shuhada are they giving you? Each family, they are giving you 10 shuhada. 10 members of their family, shaheed. That is the Afghans for you. 10 shuhada. After 20 years, you had to swallow your words. Shut your mouth. Yeah. So where are all the liberal, you know, writers? Where are they? Where are you? What is Samsung gaya tumhe? Where are you? So anyway, can a mu'min be a coward? Allah's Nabi said, Naam, possibility a mu'min can be a coward. We see, alhamdulillah, in the world today, the Palestinians, they're not cowards. What? You and I can be cowards, but the Palestinians are not cowards. MashaAllah, Iman. And also, the people who have Iman. Khair, Allah's Nabi was then questioned, أَيَكُونُ الْمُؤْمِنُ مُؤْمِنُ بَخِيلًا, O Nabi of Allah, can a believer, a Muslim, be a miser, kanjus? This is not a trait of a mu'min, but Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Naam, possible, ho sakta hai. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned, Ayakunul mu'minu kadhaban? Can a believer be a liar? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, La, a Muslim can never lie. He can be a coward. He can be a bakhil, a miser. He can be anything. But the one who has Iman will not lie. This is how important speaking the truth is in Islam. We underestimate the importance of speaking the truth. It is so important. Why, my respected brothers and elders? That is why. When you look at the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the disbelievers had no choice but to call him Muhammad Sadiqul Amin. Yajib bat. And this is mentioned in all books of seerah, tariq. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who? The most truthful. Who? The most trustworthy. Sabse zyada. Zaban. Qeemat. He would not speak nothing but the truth. No exaggeration. No spin. No smokescreen. No misleading. Nothing. جو بات تھی وہی بالکل سامنے. That is how Allah's Nabi trained his companions that this is how you have to speak. And that is why this trend remained amongst the generations to come for a long period of time when it came to the narration of hadith. So the scholars who would listen from one person to another person hadith, they were not companions, the chain of narrators. For you to be part of the hadith and for you to be part of that narration, and for your name to be mentioned that I heard this hadith from so, and then my teacher was so and so, my teacher was so and so. That group of people, the one condition for them was that they should have never lied. They should have never ever lied. For that hadith to remain very, very qawi, that there, everyone in this chain of narrators are strong ravis, siqa, what are they? Never. In their entire life, they've never said anything that is wrong. Dekha mere azizo. So Allah give us the tawfiq. Everything in this world today is running on lies. Everything. Not a single thing you can say is the truth. Everything is a lie. I had a program at St. Philip's. Umar was there. The police were there. All the elite people were there. And this is what I said to them, exactly this ayat. I said, no matter what your religion, no matter what your profession, you are only who you are if you know how to speak the truth. Islam teaches us this. Speak the truth. Side with the truth. This is so important. There is this amazing verse in the Quran, Surah Alaq, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, the very first ayat that were revealed upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah speaks about a man in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He took on this mission to promote this false propaganda. And anything what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, he would speak the opposite and he would accuse and put false allegations on Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was his mission in his entire life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about him in this chapter. Ajib kalam of Allah. His name is Abu Jahl. Whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, he from the outside behind would say, don't believe him. Whatever he is saying is lies. He is a magician. He is majnoon, aliyazu billah. He is a kahin. All allegations. He would walk with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow him wherever he went. If he found out there was a group of people, a meeting, he would send his people there. Was he not the one who came when Allah's Nabi privately wanted to talk to his uncle Abu Talib? And Abu Jahl intervened and he said that, are you going to listen to your nephew and turn away from the honor of your tribe? A very cunning man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the verses here, kalla, no. لَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهِ لَنَسْفَعَمْ بِالنَّاصِيَةِ, that if he does not stop from what he is doing, this propaganda campaign, then Allah is saying, I am going to drag him and throw him in Jahannam by his forelocks, by his forehead, by his, I won't translate here nasiya, by his nasiya. What is it? I don't want to translate it in English. Allah is saying, I will drag him in Jannah by his nasiya. So what is nasiya? Nasiya is the front part of your head. This front section is what is called nasiya. لَنَسْفَعَنْ بِالنَّاسِيَةِ. And Allah does not stop there. Allah is talking about the forehead of Abu Jahl. And ulama say, not just Abu Jahl, this is the condition of the forehead of all the people that follow Abu Jahl. نَاسِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِيَةٍ. نَاسِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِيَةٍ. Now Allah is describing this forehead, that the forehead is a lying forehead. What is it? Kadhiba means to lie. Lying and sinning forehead. Two things have been mentioned here. Lying and sinning. Lying and sinning is related to your nasiya. What is it? To your nasiya. Allah is saying that it is related to your nasiya. Now, 1400 years ago, the scholars would not understand this in a way. They would understand this in a very simple way. That okay, nasiya means your forehead, that Allah will drag you into Jahannam by the hair that is there, or by your forehead you will be pulled. But subhanallah, amazing is the Quran. And as science progresses, your iman upon the Quran should increase. You understand, my respected brothers? Nasiya in the Arabic language, what does it mean? Now science is telling you that the brain is divided into two parts. Two parts. Your left hemisphere and your right hemisphere. Your right and your left is divided into two parts. It is the most complex, sophisticated organ from the other organs that Allah has created. Ye to ajeeb. Kabhi kabhi, subhanallah, you know, it's amazing to be a doctor, because to be a doctor, it will only increase your iman. What is it? But it is sad that people who are in this medical field, unfortunately, instead of getting closer to Allah, are moving away from Allah and becoming atheists. This is from shaitan. Allah saves. But especially if you're a surgeon, and where you have to, you know, open the body and look into the mystery of the human body, it is amazing. Kya banaya hai Allah ne is insan ko, ajeeb. So your brain is in two parts, and it has got four lobes. Four lobes. In fact, your brain, wo kehte hai, isme jo neurons hai, the neurons, there are more neurons in your brain than the stars in all of the galaxies. Look at the kudrat of Allah. Ye koi musalman nahi bol raha hai. There are more neurons in your brain than all of the stars in the galaxies. Look at the complexity of how Allah creates this small organ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the four lobes that are divided, the front lobe, prefrontal cortex, PFC is ko kehte hai. Kya kehte hai? Prefrontal cortex. That in Arabic is called nasiya. What is it called? Nasiya. In Arabic, it's not just your forehead or this part. Nasiyatun means your front forelobe. Kya hai? The front lobe. It's called PFC, prefrontal lobe. This prefrontal lobe is, from all the lobes, the biggest. One third. Barah. And in fact, your whole brain that Allah has created, it is so powerful. This is what we call the control center. What is it? Your whole body is being, for you to hear, for you to listen, for you to think, for you to speak, for you to move, for your blood to move in its veins. Everything basically is done by this gadget. Kya hai? This gadget. It's called your brain. And it's divided into four lobes. But why did the Quran describe Abu Jahl's lying and Abu Jahl's sins with this prefrontal cortex. Why? Why did Quran say nasiya? Ajib. Science now is telling us that it is your PFC, the front part of your lobe, that decides this complex cognitive behavior and your planning, that what you want to do. Are you going to do something that is right or something wrong? Or are you going to speak something that is right, or do you want to speak something that is wrong? That is all decided by your front part here. Can you imagine that? So Allah is saying that Abu Jahl, everything that he decided, Allah gave him the nasiya. Allah gave him the ability to think right. Allah put a Nabi in front of him, but unfortunately everything what he chose was wrong. So it is your frontal lobe that actually is the main zone which gives the order to your action organs to speak lies or to speak the truth by your tongue. It gives an order. Okay, this is what you have to say. Or this is what you have to say. Or if you are going to do something wrong, guna, this is what you have to do and this is what you have to do. So everything is with your forehead. And look at the accuracy of the Quran. Allah has said that even amongst the animals, the creatures that I have created, animals are very intelligent. What are they? Very intelligent animals. Subhanallah. The defense system of an animal, mashallah. Animals, they know everything. They know how to hide. They know everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I have even given the brains to the animals. And they are all Muslims. What are they? Ye kamal hai. Har animal ka brain, it registers that my creator is Allah. And Allah talks about this. Inni tawakkaltu ala Allahi rabbi wa rabbikum. Ma min dabbatin illa huwa akhidhum binasiyatiha. There is not a single creature, but Allah has gripped it by its nasiyah. What is it? By its nasiyah. That every animal knows by its forehead that the one who controls me is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why, my respected brothers, your nasiya, this forehead, plays a very, very important role in a person's life. Because the frontal lobe, your prefrontal cortex, inside it, inside that portion of the brain, this is what determines that should I speak the truth or should I speak lies? Should I take a good action or should I do something wrong? Abhi gussa aaya, and Umar Farooq is angry and he's saying, you know what? That person's phone is ringing, let me go and punch him. Right? So now Umar Farooq goes and he's going to punch him. Now, where did he get this idea from? Here. Now Umar Farooq might want to lie. Yeah? Kya hai? Might want to lie. So I'm phoning him. So, oh, Mauli Sahab, you know what? I was very, very busy today, I couldn't pick up your call. When he was doing nothing. What was it? So this lies, pack of lies, that comes from Umar Farooq, how did it come about? From your nasiya. What is it? So this is your nasiya. And that is why, if you remember, in the hadith it comes, Dajjal's nasiya has been described. Dajjal's nasiya has been described. Allah's Nabi said that when Dajjal comes, because there is just no khair in his brain. What is it? There is just no khair in his brain. Nothing but evil and jute and lies. What is it? The lies that are in Dajjal is so much, that eventually it becomes visible in his forehead. It's becoming visible on his. So when the Dajjal comes, the nasiya will be marked as kaf fa ra. Kaf fa Ra. Why? Because of what the Quran says. That the faculties Allah has given you, that one small portion of nasiya, inside this way, you decide what is right and what is wrong, because Dajjal will not have that capacity. It will already be marked on his nasiya, kaf, fa, and ra. That is why our akabirin in tasawwuf, they would recognize a person just by looking at his forehead. What is it? They would look at his forehead. I even forget the akabir of one sheikh, that when a person came to him, looked at the forehead, he says, I'm looking at kufr on his forehead. What is it? I'm looking at kufr on his forehead. So your forehead is such an important organ. So Allah is saying, Abu Jahl's nasiya, Allah gave him the brains. Allah gave him every ni'mah to decide what was right and what was wrong. But he chose the wrong path. And now, my respected brothers, what is the most important ibadat that we do? Namaz. And in namaz, what is the most beloved posture to Allah? What is it? Sajda. And when you are doing sajda, what is the most important part which has to touch the ground? Your nasiya. Your nasiya has to touch the ground. If your nasiya is not touching the ground, your namaz is not valid. Your sajda is not counted. So why are we putting this forehead down? Why? Because the barakat is that when you are putting your forehead down on the ground, mashaAllah, the barakat of accepting the truth is impacting your nasiya. And the more namaz you pray, the more intelligence is given to you. Have you not noticed what Allah says in the Quran? Inna salata, your namaz, regularity in your namaz, tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. When you are regular in your salat, one day your salat will stop you from immorality and from sins. So, what has salah got to do? No. Because you are doing sajda to Allah. And when you are doing sajda to Allah, your nasiya, mashaAllah, is energized. What is it? Is energized. And that energy is going in your nasiya. And when it's going inside your frontal lobe, it gives you the power to understand what is right and what is wrong. One day, you will be given the tawfiq to do tawbah because your nasiya was going down, touching the ground. You were surrendering to who? Allah. And that is why the greatest truth in Islam is what? Allah. What is it? Haq is who? Allah. And that is why only in front of Allah we put our nasiya down. We do sajda to say that, Ya Allah, you have given us the front lobes as a ni'mah that we determine what is right and what is wrong. Physically we testify, Ya Allah, we are putting our nasiya down only to you. Allah, you protect us. Baat samajh mein aaya nahi? This is the barakat of a person praying namaz. That is why when you don't pray namaz, Allah takes away the noor from your face. Allah takes away the noor from your face. But when you are praying your namaz, when you are regular, when your nasiya is down, mashallah, when you are humble, that is it. And that is why you will find in a number of ahadith, Allah's Nabi's dua, unique. Allahumma inni abduka, wabnu abdik, wabnu amatik, nasiyati biyadik. O Allah, I am your slave. And I am your slave, my father is your slave, my mother is your slave. What did he say? Allah, I am your slave, my father is your slave, my mother is your... And look at the humility of Huzur alayhi salam. Nasiyati biyadik. Allah, my nasiya is in your hands. My nasiya is in your hands. That is why hidayat comes from your nasiya. And on the day of Qiyamah, that part will be shining the most will be this part. A lot of shine will be given. You see, people who are digging underground, you'll see they have lights on the helmet they wear, they have lights there. So it's easy for you to go. Allah will give you light, Noor here. That is how important Nasiya is. So from an Islamic point of view, my respected brothers, we have to be very careful that we don't lie. Because when you lie, it is affecting your Nasiya. This is what they call prefrontal cortex, your lobe, your front lobe. This is what science is telling us now. And inshallah, if you just bear with me, my respected brother, Isha kitne baje hai? No, 50. So, there are people who are lying nowadays. There are people who are lying nowadays. You will find, you don't even realize that people have made it a habit to lie. Somebody is going to give you a phone call at home. Say, I'm not here. You don't even realize you are lying. Somebody knocks at the door. The Umar Farooq is at home. Beta, tell him I'm not there. I'm not picking on Umar Farooq. Ab kisko pick karu yaar? Kisko hi to karu? Then his son will say, my dad's not in. My dad's not. Perfect lies. What is it? So we don't even know. Sometimes you don't want to hurt somebody's feeling. And you'll say, no, you don't look fat at all. See? You don't look big at all, mashallah. Your jabba apne pehna, you look okay. Fine lagte ho. You don't. Halanki he looks very fat. But he doesn't want to hurt his feelings. People lie. People don't even realize how they lie. Sometimes they'll take the blame. No. He didn't take the money. I took the money from the drawer. Wow, mashallah. You want to save somebody? I took the money. No, he didn't take it. I took the money. People lie to their teeth. People lie to their... We don't even realize that we are lying. And lying in Shariat, we will explain that. But consciously people lie a lot. Consciously people lie a lot. A lot of the times people lie. You're well and then you phone your boss. I think I got COVID. Bichara boss kehta hai ghar raho. Yeah. You're lying. I'm sick. Abu bichara, when you say now you're sick, even everybody's going to accept it. Isn't it? But you are lying. People lie. People lie so much. People have an art. And some pathological liars, storytellers, what are they? And when you try to confront them, the story becomes even more excited. You say, Ya Allah. Did that happen, yaar? Sorry, yaar, I took you wrong. He makes you apologize. You get certain people who are brilliant at this. Storytellers, kya? Ajeeb liars. Perfect liars. Bade bade jhooth bolne wale dunya mein aaye. And then you get people unconscious lying. Unconscious lying. Unconscious lying. So for an example, you know, husband and wife, they start an argument, fighting. Then the wife gets angry and in her anger she says, you have done nothing for me in my life. This is in the hadith. You have done nothing for me in my life. Now the man has worked so much all his life, pays the bills, electricity, gas, har gari usko di, kapre diye, eid ke paise diye, khane wagera. On top of that, credit card nahi, debit card de diya. Spend. Ab bichara, he's done so much for the wife. And one argument, what does she do? You've done nothing for me. She's unconscious in her lying. She doesn't know. But the reality is not this. But this does not give you accuracy in understanding. Only Islam gives you the right understanding. So bear with me, inshallah. It's not so deep, but inshallah, step by step we understand. The first level in Arabic, the Quran says when a person is in the habit of lying, the word that is used is called kizb. Kya hai? Kizb. Kaziba. Kazub. Kazaba. Lying. A person lies. Call him kazab, a person who's lying. In Shariat, when a person gets into the habit of lying too much, Allah save us.
Ameen.
Then from level 1, he can fall into level 2. The level 2 of liars in Islam is called nifaq, hypocrisy. What is it? Hypocrisy is also lying. Kizb means that you are lying. That means you want the person in front to believe what you know to be wrong. You want him to believe what you know is already wrong. But then nifaq means that you are taking it to a different level. You are showing him also all the actions. In reality, all this is nothing but an act. It is all wrong. Now, nifaq is very dangerous. Nifaq in Shariat is divided into two categories. Nifaq-e amali and nifaq-e atiqadi. Nifaq-e amali and nifaq-e. Nifaq-e amali will not remove you from the fold of Islam. That means hypocrisy that is only in actions. Hypocrisy only in actions. So you are doing actions like a hypocrite. Allah's Nabi mentioned this. Ayatul Munafiki Thalath. That the sign of a Munafik is 3. Iza haddatha kadhab. That when he speaks, he is lying. What is he? So this is a sign of a hypocrite. Wa idhatu mina khana. And when a trust is given to him, there's treachery. Wa idha wa'ada akhlafa. And when he promises, he will not fulfill the promise. So these are signs of a hypocrite. But this is hypocrisy by action. The one that removes you from Islam is nifaq-e atiqadi. Hypocrisy in your beliefs. Hypocrisy in your, like Qadianism, Shiism, like the munafiqs in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Qadianism, hypocrisy in belief, in belief. So they say Mirza Ghulam is a Nabi. Problem is in atiqad, you're a kafir. Shiism, they believe in masoom imams, they don't believe in the Quran. Everything for them is very, very different. Atiqad, in your aqidah there's problem. Out. So my respected brothers, aqidah, atiqad, nifaq-e atiqadi removes you from Islam, but nifaq-e amali doesn't. So by lying a person, a Muslim does not become a kafir, or by treachery he won't. Why? Because his beliefs are still intact. Now, the third level, Allah save us. The third level, Allah save us. That lying, it is a lie, but he believes it to be the truth. What is it? A lie that he does not take to be a lie. He is taking something that is false to be the truth. That is called kufr. What is it called? Kufr. So kufr means, kafara means, that the reality is hidden. What is it? The reality is hidden. Kafar means a covering. What is it? So you can't see the truth. The truth has false has become the truth for you. Now, for an example. How is that, my respected brothers? Jesus, can he be the Son of God?
No.
No. What is the truth? That he is the Prophet of Allah. But you will find people who are so sincere. What are they? So sincere in this aqidah that he is actually the Son of God. They will never take this to be lies. They are not take. They are thinking you are lying, but we are speaking the truth. This kufr means that, subhanallah, the lie has become the truth. Shaitan works on this. Okay? So for an example, Hinduism. Imagine worshipping stones. Kya hai? Worshipping stones. You might as well worship your mobile phone. Your mobile phone to is much better. Ne? It talks to you. It will give you a lot of info. But you are worshipping stones. Now they are so sincere in worshipping the stones. Sincere. The atiqad and aqidah is strong. The lie has become nothing but the truthful. This is called, what is it called? Huh? Kufr, right? What is it called? Kufr. Now, something very important for brothers to listen. How does something transform into kufr? Can you repeat the words? How does something transform into kufr? Sharia tells you that something transforms into kufr, the system is repetition. What is it? Repetition. When you promote the wrong in masses, what is it? In masses. And a repetition in promoting the wrong to be right, wrong to be right, wrong to be right. A time comes when you have worked so hard in repeating the wrong to be right and promoting the wrong to be right, and more people follow this line, more and more people follow this line, then eventually the wrong becomes right. This is the most powerful tool of shaitan. What is he? Very powerful. So in the beginning, nobody was there to accept Jesus as the Son of God, but he worked very hard. From 1 to 2, from 100 to 200, 200 to 300, a campaign, a city, a group of people, again working hard. Eventually one generation dies, and then that aqidah becomes solid. Now, from that action, how to turn that action into kufr is by the works of shaitan. One is mass promotion. What is it? Mass promotion and repetition. So for an example, today, even more stronger than the, kya kehte hai? Then the Israeli regime, what is it? Is the LGBT group of people. What is it? Mass promotion, LGBT. How does it work? Massively. And they work with stores like, yeah, kaun si store hai? Dukan, town, make, shop. John Lewis to khatam, wo jo hum Indian log jate hai, wo? Primark. Hamare Musalman ki shop kaun si hai, yaar? Primark, ye to Primark mein hi to main sabko milta hu. Salam bhai, kaise ho? How are you? Hafiz saab, kaise ho? This is where we meet. Primark is our meeting point. Samjha na? To ye Primark bhi, you see LGBT ke colors, kya hai? And it is in front of your face, that rainbow, LGBT, schools, education, politics, books, everything. In the billions, mass production. Why? To make the wrong into a right. A time comes that a person does not even feel anything that I'm a homosexual, or I'm a gay or a lesbian. A father does not feel anything. This is how it works. To turn something into kufr, repetition. What is it? How it works. Dekha apne? That is why you will find the media and the modern world today, it's very easy. You've got Twitter, Facebook, this and that. To change a person's mind, it becomes very, very easy. That is why you will find most of the people don't know about Islam. They always relate terror to Islam. Why? An agenda. Despite their media power, despite everything they have, they are still struggling. What are they? Still. Why? You have the media. We have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are holding your Wi-Fi and your computer. We have our Nabi. We have our Nabi. Do what you want. But this is the way how things change in a community. Kya hai isko yaad rakhna? And if you remember this, all of this begins where Allah is saying, speak the truth. And Allah's Nabi is saying, a mu'min can never be a liar. And Allah's Nabi is saying all that. And then your Nasiya, Abu Jahl's Nasiya. Nasiya, all the things that you see around you is what will change your mind. What will it do? Change your mind. So mass production, TV adverts aap dekhe. Ab jo hai na puri dunya mein phail gaya, Ronaldo is going to play for United. What is he going to play? Ronaldo hai na? Is he playing for United? Yeah. Puri dunya, within seconds. Kahin logo ne mujhe kaha, Maulana sahab, have you heard? I said, yes. Ronaldo, gone. Yehi kehne wale the na tum. Halanki I'm not into that, alhamdulillah. But you see, that's how people are. You are interested, mass production. So when you want evil to spread and change something into kufr, so Qadianis, what do they do? Promotion, what is it? So much promotion until Ahmadiyya Qadianism becomes a norm to them. Why is it in Muharram that the Shias go in the streets? Why? To show people, look, you know what, this is quite normal. We are going to show you now what we do. So that when we see now, the mind becomes adjusted. What is it? The mind becomes. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the minute my ummah stops amar bil ma'aruf nahi anil munkar, it will be disaster for them. A wrong is a wrong and a right is a right, and you have to remain that way all the time, and you have to be on the side of the right no matter who you are. This is the beauty of Islam. Now you will see, politicians don't speak the truth. Politicians don't speak the truth. Why? Why? Very simple, my brothers, very simple. If you want to be in power, and if you want to remain as an MP, if you want people to vote for you, you will have to do what the public wants. Now, if the public is going to lie to you and they say to you, this is the guna, which is haram to us, but we accept this guna and there is masses, we want this, the MP has no choice but to accept this. Otherwise, he's not going to be in that position. So for him, whether he's going to lie or whether he's going to speak the truth does not matter. It is all up to how the community is. If the community is good, then your MP is good. If the community is evil, then your MP is also an evil person. Jeremy Corbyn, dekhe bichara, isne isko foran nikal diya, out. There's no place for you, Jeremy. There's no place for you. You can't be. Because, you see, it's very difficult because the truth hurts people. What does it do? The truth, that is why the only law that is acceptable is the law of Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no relationship as such with human beings. A human being, he can be emotionally blackmailed, you understand? It could be your son, your family, then you might say, okay, mera beta hai yaar, I'll have to slightly look away and close my eyes. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone is His creation, and the laws that He puts there are laws that are going to be of benefit to everyone, because Allah says, I am a samad, I am totally independent. I am totally independent. Itni baat samajh aayi? So what are the three levels of lying? One is kazib, kizb. Second is nifaq. Nifaq is of two types. That's why you will find that our scholars remove certain people from Islam, even if they are praying namaz, because it falls under the nifaqe atiqadi. What is it? If it was not falling under nifaqe atiqadi, if it was nifaqe amali, you are our brother. No problem. You are our brother. No problem. But nifaqe atiqadi removes you. And then from nifaq, you come to that dangerous zone where the wrong becomes right, and this is done through repetition. Jazakallah. Repetition. Repeat. Now that is why in Sharia, it is the opposite. Allah is saying, when people are doing repetition in evil, it will turn them into a monster, the Dajjal. Eventually they will become the worst of the worst. So what are we Muslims to do? Repetition in good actions. Repetition in? So that is why Surah Fatiha, every rakat. Same tasbih, every rakat. When it comes to zikr, Allah didn't say, just do a bit of zikr. No, no. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkurullah zikran kathira. Allah is saying, do zikr, a lot of zikr. Why? The more good that you do, the more your prefrontal cortex will become stronger. What will it become? Stronger. Because the more good you put inside it, the more good it will show you. That is why pornography is very, very dangerous. What is it? Because it actually blocks your entire frontal lobe. You can't see anything. When you're praying namaz, you can't think of anything. When you're praying Quran, it is Jumu'ah, you are in the masjid, you're thinking of a woman. You're looking at any woman, you are thinking of zina. Why? Because this is damaged. What is it? Your nasiyah has been damaged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers and elders. It is never too late. What is it? That is why when a Nabi comes in this dunya, there was one sunnat. Every Nabi that came, what he would do, first he would make an announcement that the Nabi that came before me, this was his name. What was it? So that link is connected. Remember, now we have this technology. In those days, there was no technology. So he will mention the name of the previous Nabi, and then he will make the mention of the Nabi that is in front, and he will say, I am here. I am not here to cancel the laws. This Nabi came before me. I am a Nabi after him. And after me will come another. For an example, in Surah Saf, Isa alayhi salam said to the people, Inni Rasulullah, I am the Nabi of Allah. Musaddiqan lima bayna yadayya min at-Tawrah. I do tasdeeq, and I say that before me came Musa and Tawrat. And after me, wa mubashira bi rasul, ya'ti min ba'di ismuhu Ahmad. And after me, a Nabi will come, Ahmad. So this was the connection, how Anbiya came. So that everything becomes the absolute truth. That is why Islam is very strict when it comes to preservation. Preservation of Quran, preservation of Hadith, preservation of anything. Islam is very, very strict. It will not give you any concession. Why? Otherwise the whole building will be dismantled. Allah give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاك الله خير